Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
You're reporting live from an undisclosed location? Is that what's happening?
That's right. I'm remote. I'm remote this week. Remote work. It's maybe not for Apple, but it's for the rest of us. It's fine.
I mean, technically, this podcast is almost always remote.
This is true.
It's a quiet week. Everybody's getting ready for WWDC now, it turns out. That's what we're all doing. We're all mentally preparing.
And there's not... Again, it's been... I know you and Mike were prepping for your draft, and we're talking about the stuff that is out there or not out there, which, again, has continued throughout the week to seem pretty sparse in terms of leaks or other information. It does not seem like there's a lot out there right now.
It really is. It really is quiet. There's sort of been a flurry of I don't know. I'm starting to feel like rumblings that there are suggestions of things that are coming, but the rumblings haven't actually turned into, it's just like your tummy rumbles a little and you're like, oh, there's something in there, but you don't know what it is yet. It's probably in a good way, not...
not a bad tummy rumble.
No, it's the kind of thing where your tummy's rumbling because you're going to put something good in it later. How about that? That's what we're going to go with.
Mm, delicious.
Tasty. Some people have mentioned it, so I guess we should disclose here. There's a media event that's going to happen.
I know. Wow.
Media are also invited to this. So my prediction of being on the Apple Park campus in person by invitation, that's an important point, not just breaking in, sometime this year seems to be coming to pass. I think it's going to happen, which is kind of wild, and I didn't really expect it, but here we are.
Yeah, it's funny because I heard you talking about the COVID levels in the Bay Area, and honestly, it does seem like the COVID areas everywhere have been... pretty touchy lately. I traveled earlier this month to Seattle. They were not great there. They're not fantastic in Boston. I'm upstate Western New York right now. They're not great here either. So it's pretty much, it might be me, Jason. I might be the problem.
You disclosed your location too, vaguely. So.
I did disclose my location, but only generally.
Well, hello to all the people of New York State.
Yes, indeed. A small little state.
Yeah, well, Apple is doing their thing where they're gonna have us do testing and say, I think home tests are even allowed, which is kind of fun, but they want them the day before, and masking, and they're just gonna do it. So okay, we're gonna give it a shot and see. So that's. Very interesting wrinkle that I wasn't really expecting, but there it is. So I still don't know, are they going to... I've been predicting for a while since they announced the live event with the developers, and I'm going to continue with this prediction, I think, right now, which is I think the Tim Cook portion of the program that's the beginning and the end will be live. That's my prediction, is that Tim Cook will be live to introduce the rest of the on-tape programming. But maybe not. I mean, they might even have multiple people. If they're doing media and they're doing developers, it kind of sounds like a WWDC keynote. And so maybe they would even have I'd imagine that huge amounts of it will be pre-taped, but they may have, Craig Federighi live introducing his top level things and then throwing it to tape. I don't know. You would think for contingency reasons, if nothing else, they would have pre-taped most of it. But.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's so much easier because they need to stream it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So as long as you're streaming it everywhere, including, it seems like, large portions of it, as you said, will be streamed even to the people who are in attendance, then because they describe, I mean, a lot of the stuff has been described for the invite parts of the event as like a media watch event or something, I feel like. So, it seems, I agree with you. I feel like maybe the introductions will be semi-live. Hopefully they won't wheel out the animatronic Tim Cook. Mm. Good morning.
Yes. Beep boop.
Beep boop. Yeah. But it would not surprise me that there shouldn't be some element of it, because if you're going to have people show up, you might as well have something, some reason for that. Otherwise, why, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, other than to be the live studio audience for the Tim Cook sitcom, which is not a good enough reason, right? So you would hope that that is going to be what it is, but we just don't know. I mean, and the truth is, it is a show for streaming. So it really, in some ways, we've always been the live studio audience,
right?
Just supply noise and applause and stuff like that, and that's what they've always, you know, that's the live in person things. I'm hoping that there's stuff for us to see, although that's going to be interesting too, right? Like, will there be, first off, will there be hardware? I don't know. And second, will there be you know, demo kind of things? I assume, you know, that there, how shall I phrase this? My understanding is that there will be live briefings and remote briefings. So I don't know, right? Like, what is that? Like, I don't understand. And can you do a remote briefing? Like, would you like be there, like sitting in the parking
right.
lot doing your remote
yeah,
briefing?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I don't know.
How that works,
that's weird.
So.
Yeah, I'll, hold on. The can I get onto the Wi-Fi at least from?
Yeah, they're working it out. They're
from
working
Apple
it
Park.
Out. But at least it's yeah. Can I get the Wi-Fi, please? So that's all going on. That's gonna be a big week and kick off a lot of coverage of whatever they announce, including, you know, the next wave of operating system stuff. So there's gonna be a lot going on. And so this week I'm trying to give myself like permission to not fill every moment with work, because I am
right.
starting to feel that thing of like it's about to get real busy.
Yeah.
Maybe now take that like I could write another article today and be like, maybe I won't. Today.
Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Yeah, I hear you. Since I've been running around and going off on travels and stuff, I do have another article that's sort of a follow-on from something I wrote earlier this week because it was prompted by a reader question, which I've been working on. It's a little esoteric, but I think it's kind of interesting because I did that piece about the diacritical typing.
Oh, yeah.
A reader wrote in to ask, hey, I've got this font. And it's weird because this is it's one of the Google fonts. And they're like, what's weird about it is like the @, you know, shift 2. It's this really weird glyph where it's like inverted, where it's like a white @ on like a black circular background. And it's like, I hate it. It's hard to read. And I know from poking through in Fontbook, like that there is another glyph in there for the @ that's like a normal one, but I don't know how to type it. And it led me down this really fascinating rabbit hole about some probably a little more esoteric typography and font things that you can access on the Mac, which I had no idea existed. So I'm gonna try to write something up about that maybe next week. But I had it in my hopper all week, and I was just like, I don't have time. Like, so a nice leisurely post next week about fonts.
Okay.
Everyone loves it.
We'll get it. I people who are in our Six Colors member Slack may have seen that I posted. Not only did I post a story that you may have seen about the Stream Deck, and I finally did my sort of brain dump about using a Stream Deck, but that I had that to-do list item for months on my list of stories to write, and I had just never gotten to it. And in fact, I was going to write it last week, and I ended up down a totally different rabbit hole about SoundSource, and I wrote that post last week about SoundSource 5.5 coming out with the automation, because I started to write about Stream Deck, and I was like, oh, right, what about, they did say that SoundSource was going to do that. I was going to use it as an example or something, and I went to investigate and saw that it had come out, and that led to that story. And so once again, the Stream Deck story stayed as a little tiny stub of a text file in my stories folder. But now I did finally get that out of sort of like, it's been more than a year that I've had the Stream Deck. So I thought maybe just, you know, for people who are kind of curious or how would you use this thing, or maybe bought one and then didn't use it, like the lessons I've learned about, you know, ergonomic issues and about how I think the software should be a lot better, and that you have to kind of design your own interface, and designing interfaces is hard. And like, it's very tinkery in a way that I think some people love, but I think it hurts it as a product to not have a kind of easier ease of use option for people. I don't know. It's right. proven to be useful, and it's stuck in my workflow, and I put it on to the left of my keyboard on my keyboard tray, so it's got a very specific context. I do know some people who have it like front and center under their display as like a I don't know, like mission control kind of system, beep boopy kind of blinky light kind of thing, and I don't want that. That's not my
right.
style. But everybody's different. Like everybody's ergonomics are different. But I've in the context of being kind of trackpad to the right, Stream Deck to the left, keyboard in the middle, that has worked for me over time.
Here you are stuck in the middle with no
with a keyboard that has surrounded the keyboard surrounded by other input devices. It knows what it did.
Yeah, I still consider myself a Stream Deck novice in this way. I was actually, I recorded an episode this week of, which I don't think is a spoiler to say, of Automators with Rosemary and David Sparks, Rosemary Orchard, David Sparks. Yep. And we talked about the Stream Deck a bit. And I was talking about how I love some of the stuff I've been able to do with it, but I have not fully managed to integrate it into my workflow.
Yeah.
Like, it's there. I know it's there, but it's not one of those things where it's like I always think about, oh, I could probably put that in the Stream Deck.
It took me a year. I mean, it literally took me a year to really kind of figure out all the little pieces. And to the point, also, it took me not just understanding like how to integrate Keyboard Maestro and how to use shortcuts, which you couldn't when I got it, like shortcuts for the Mac didn't exist, but also that apps like Audio Hijack got controllable via this method. Because I one of the reasons I was so happy when Audio Hijack came out with the new version that's scriptable or JavaScriptable internally and controllable by shortcuts is I had tried last year to build automations for Stream Deck around podcasting and Audio Hijack and failed largely because I had to use Keyboard Maestro's weird thing where it like looks for things on the screen and then clicks on
right.
them. And I was like, no, I don't. It just was not reliable in the same way that that it is now. So, it took time. And I do think it takes, I think part of the reason that it takes so much time is that like you got to think about it. You got to like you can't just like go oh let's make that a button. It's more like you got to think like where do I want the button and what do I want the button to say and how do I kick this off and how does that fit and does that actually work in my workflow or does it not? Like there's a lot going on there.
Sure. Yeah. I think it is as we talked about on the Automators episode, like automation in a vacuum, right? Like you need to have an idea, a problem to solve, right? Like yeah. I think if you just set out a lot of times to be like, oh, I wonder what I can do with this. It's like overwhelming because the possibilities are infinite, right? Like, and sometimes that's just too much to sort of wrap your head around when, as opposed to when you have a specific issue and then you're sitting there thinking, man, I need to solve this problem. And then realizing, oh, yeah, wait, hold on, I could do this. I can connect all these various tools and things that I have and find a way to solve that problem. And that is one place that it ends up being a huge benefit, I think.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, there's the quick wins with things like URL that opens screens connected to my server or opens an SSH connection to my remote server in Terminal. But some of them are literally like, it's a thing that used to be Command Shift Option 3 or whatever or F3 and I would not remember what it was and now it's just I put it on a button and it's like oh there it is and mm-hmm. it's like I know it's a button and I don't need to know the keyboard shortcut and that's really nice and then David Sparks speaking of David had a good one that I had never really thought about before which is I like to run especially my Macworld post, but I like to run my longer post through Grammarly. That was a tip from Glenn Fleischman, which is like when you have no editor and no copy editor, spell check is fine, but spell check doesn't get a valid word used in the wrong context. And I found I like Grammarly for that. It's actually pretty, it overcorrects everything, but it's pretty good at saying you shouldn't have a comma here. And this word is not the word you mean. It's actually a typo and it finds most of those. The problem with Grammarly is it's a web service. I mean, they have an app, but the app is just a shell for the web service anyway. And David Sparks's suggestion, he made a little Keyboard Maestro macro, and all it does is it selects all in your text editor, chooses copy, opens the Grammarly website, clicks on the button for new document, and pastes in the document. And I have a button for that now. That is, at the end of my process, I can press the Grammarly button, and it brings it into Grammarly. And it's not a super complicated Keyboard Maestro macro, but it is... So what I'm saying is that over the course of 6 months or 9 months, I have slowly been collecting those moments where you're like, oh, this should be a button. And now I've got a pretty good assortment of them. But it took kind of a year of just using my computer, being, you know, doing my life and paying attention to, should this be a button? And then eventually I've collected a little, you know, I've got a thing that makes a new BB Edit note and a thing that opens all the links that are selected in the Google Doc and tabs for show note reasons. I've got a paste HTML as markdown, you know, that used to be. So I'm slowly filling up all the buttons.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. And I haven't quite gotten to the point of having to, you know, do the time honored give my Stream Deck to a friend and buy a bigger one. But, you know, I assume that's coming eventually.
It comes. I mean, yeah, my Stream Deck is actually Stephen Hackett's old one because he bought the Stream Deck XL for his control center, launch mission control, launch pad, whatever it is. I'm satisfied with this size. I don't think I need the bigger one. But anyway, it's a fun thing. It's not for everybody, but I think that that for our audience, especially if you're a power kind of Mac user, it does have its place. There are places where it really is kind of friendly and useful, and I've enjoyed it. Let's see. I don't know if there's a lot else going on. I did write a piece for Macworld this week called HomePod All the Things. Well, they gave it a good headline, but I think of it as HomePod All the Things because I wanted to roll up all of those pieces that have been out there saying, you know, HomePod Mini, there's going to be a HomePod, another larger HomePod, probably based on the HomePod Mini, and there's that soundbar thing that might happen, and there's the FaceTime thing in the kitchen. And I just wanted to put that all in one place and say, let's do it. Like, see, this makes sense. And it's one of those cases where we speculate a lot about Apple technology where it's like, well, what if they did this? And it's always involves like a new thing that they're going to have to do. The frustrating thing about the HomePod and the soundbar and all of those things is like, all the pieces already exist. It's literally just, is there a product that you could craft?
Can you put those together? Yeah.
Like, especially the soundbar, where it's literally like speakers, an Apple TV, and a FaceTime, a center stage camera. It's like, you got it all.
You're sitting there going, I could put this together in my garage if you guys are busy.
I'm not saying that all they have to do is duct tape a bunch of stuff together. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that it doesn't involve like a brand new kind of thing that's like, what if Apple invented this thing? It's like, no, they already invented all the things. They already have all these features. They just have to turn it into a coherent product, which is not nothing. But it feels like they're a lot closer to that. Or in the kitchen, and I think we've talked about this here before, the kitchen thing, like the idea that you've got a center stage camera and it's like an Amazon Echo Show or something. You got a center stage camera so you can do FaceTime, and you've got a screen, and even there I think, well, you could have it have an Apple TV-esque kind of mode where you're navigating around something that's more Apple TV-like. Maybe it runs tvOS. Even if it's a touch screen, you could have it behave more like an Apple TV. But I also think, also you have widgets from iOS.
Right.
It's like that. I would love iOS widgets on my Amazon Echo Show because its home screen is really unsatisfying in terms of what ambient information it projects into my kitchen. And so again, they're close. It's a little further away. It's a little more complicated. But so I'm hoping that these rumors all suggest that Apple is finally going to kind of just dive into the HomePod as a product line with a bunch of different kind of similar but different home products.
Yeah, I think that's a promising. I mean, we've heard the reports about all these things. I think there's more interest in building that out. They discontinued the HomePod, but I don't think it meant, you know, the fact that the HomePod Mini arrived meant that they made it clear they weren't seeding this ground and just being like, well, we don't really know what to do here, right? I think it's just a matter of them saying, well, what we tried was not maybe the perfect way to do this.
So and we'll try again. Still have some,
And there's other things we could do.
That's why the rumors about another HomePod, I just am assuming that what they're going to do is make a bigger HomePod Mini, but in that, you know, evolution from the HomePod Mini up to something that sounds a little bit better and is a little more expensive, but is not the original HomePod level of expensive, and that'll give them, because that makes sense, right? The fact that I think Federico Viticci is the one who harps on this a lot, but I love it, which is HomePod Mini is the mini version of what? There are no other HomePods available for sale. It's a small something, you know, it's a smaller version of a ghost. So it feels to me like they actually do want this to be a product line. They just, the first one didn't quite strike it right. And I think it's great. I think using the pod, so it's sort of hearkening to the iPod, and it's, I can envision these four products all kind of making sense. So let's go for it. So
let's do it.
We'll see. Yeah. Let's do it. I approve of this message. Anything else going on?
Well, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. It's a quick week.
Yeah, it is.
We'll have more next week, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think the rumblings may emerge a little bit more. And we may have a better idea. And then it's on to WWDC. I can't believe it's practically right around the corner. So that's pretty wild stuff. Well, anyway, stay with us at Six Colors. And of course, the Six Colors podcast will be very deeply informative, as always, because, you know, it's
that's
us.
What we do here.
It's what we do here. And so we'll be back next week. But until then, Dan, enjoy your time in mysterious New York State. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Jason.